I'm reminded of the words of Jesus, without me ye can do nothing. And so we're inviting the Holy Spirit in all of our endeavors, not just this evening. The order of the service, we'll have a few verses of scripture, and we'll have prayer and then announcements, and then I'll give a brief report on our time in El Salvador, and hopefully turn the time over to Laverne about 15:15, and then he will, he or they, however they divide that, will speak about their their time in Thailand and China. Thinking about the fact that Paul invites the prayers of those that he wrote to, started looking, and I picked out four scripture verses, and they're reminders to us that those on the field or those in the forefront need this prayer support of others backing them. He wrote to the Corinthians, ye also helping together by prayer for us. And then to the Ephesians in 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I think that verse is familiar. The next one then follows up with these words, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And then to the Romans, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. And then to Philemon and the church in his house, he writes this, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. He was hoping to come to see them. I think in our prayer time here, rather than taking prayer requests from you, perhaps I will just pray for those that we're going to be hearing about this evening, and perhaps just briefly a few other current needs that I'm thinking about. Thank you for those of you that have been praying for us and the family and my brother-in-law Mark's passing. I don't know if I thought I might just give this detail. I think most of you knew that he was a family man with a younger family. He leaves a wife and four sons, ages 8 through 15. So I'm sure that they will continue, or she will, and the boys will appreciate a continuance in your prayers. And then I suppose most of you heard of deaths in Indiana and Michigan. There's grieving families there. If there's something just really pressing on someone's mind, I would take that before we come to prayer. David, go ahead. Christina.
Father.
Okay. Were there any others? All right, why don't you stand with me, and then perhaps I'll just lead out into those requests this evening. Father, we come to you this evening recognizing that we're finite creatures. We will live a limited amount of time on this earth. And even now, as we're thinking about these requests that have been given, thinking about Bill Boyd and the need, his greatest need being salvation, and as it seems that that his passing is imminent, just praying that somehow he will understand the gravity of it, and that eternity is just that, it's eternity, and that our destiny is sealed. So pray for wisdom on the part of Owen and Wanda, and a special grace and strength for them. Think too of Caleb Yoder, and as they will be taken to a specialist, and pray for wisdom for the doctors as they try to determine what to do. And we know that you, as the great healer, are able to touch and to heal, and we would desire that would be possible according to your will. Then, Father, I think too of various families that have lost loved ones. We just pray that you would minister to them your grace this evening in an abundant measure and hold them up in your arms. Think too of our missionaries in El Salvador and Thailand and China, the ones that we'll be focusing more this evening. Bless the others too as well in Bangladesh and Romania. But for each one of them, knowing that they face differing situations, and yet there's also a commonness in human need everywhere. Just pray that you would give them grace as they face each situation, and help them serve faithfully as unto you, knowing that that the results are with you. And so we just pray your blessing on them and on us as we give report this evening, that it might serve to further know how to have your people pray for them. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, invite you to make your announcements that you have for this evening at this time, as well to take Jewel and James and Stephen along. Maybe right first, just a few impressions and changes that I saw in the 10 years between 10 and 2000, when we were there the other time, and then a bit of what we did during that time, and then a few prayer requests to mention at the end. I'm sure that those of you that have been there recently and had been there earlier know how nice it is for that road between Santa Ana and ER to be paved, and then on out to Las Delicias, and on out the other way. That's the way you go to the Capitol now. I said while I was down there, it's nicer than the Pan American Highway. So that's one change. That's one difference. The other particular difference that I noticed is the other time we were down, cell phones were just starting to come into use, but now they're in common enough use so that at the clinic they can have people, they schedule people for appointments. And if they have to call back, I think Marietta said 90% of them can be reached, either with their own cell phone or maybe a neighbor or a friend, a family member that they can contact. So that has eliminated somebody needing to get up. I think she used to get up about 6 o'clock in the morning and go out and get the people as they came off the bus and give them a number for getting in line. So some of that has changed. The other thing is they, at least when she was there, they certainly had more help than they did before, 2 RNs. And one of the workers, Martha, has been there for 17 years and does, I think, in many ways, some of the things that the RNs are doing. Anna Zimmerman and Margaret Weaver. And they actually had more local help, too, employees than what they did then. I felt it was a picture of efficiency and of it was buzzing with activity, which it did then, too, but I think they've they've continued to work at things. Well, there have been changes, yes, but there's a mix of the old and the new. I think of that as I think about the hike that we took, the boys and I, with one of Neto's boys, and went out to see how one of the young men that comes to church harvested sorghum, they call it. It looks very much like Milo. It's taller than Milo, but it's done with the scissors. You snip it off and drop it into your basket or your bag or whatever you have. The seed is hauled out there. The fertilizer is hauled out there. The seed is hauled back. It's not by trucks. It's by either by carrying or by horseback. But then you look over across on the other side of the mountain, and there's a cell phone tower. So there's a mix of the old and the new. It was a really enjoyable time that we went out there. It was dimmed a little by the fact that we forgot to take any water along. But, you know, those of you that go up and, oh, and by the way, not safe to drink out of the three creeks or whatever it was that we crossed. But anyway, those of you that have been there to the ER know that it seems like you go uphill whichever direction you come in. But where we were, we looked down on the ER. So it was a magnificent view. Well, there's things that have changed, but then there's things that haven't changed, and that is that driving in El Salvador, whether you're the driver or the passenger, tends to be an adventure. And I noticed that the bus drivers still seem to kind of try to race each other at the bus stop once in a while and pass each other to get the passengers. And riding on the back of pickups is nice, though, in that it has no dust this at least on those roads that we most normally went. And it's true that riding with Arthur can be an adventure. I enjoyed it, but some of our ladies gasped a little bit sometimes. I did drive some in El Salvador this time, but I just noticed that at 58, I probably was a little more cautious than at 28, because you're sharing that road with pedestrians and with animals. Well, those are a few things. Some of the things that have changed, some of the things that are somewhat alike from what they were. Our time. They set our time schedule. I'm not sure. I didn't even ask Marietta whether it was her or Arthur or them together, but we spend about a week, or slightly over a week actually, at the ER where Marietta and Jana live, and then the rest of the time was at the Capitol with a stop at the children's home on the way in. It was a relaxing time. One of the children observed that they don't often see their dads in a hammock in the middle of the day with a book, but it wasn't all relaxing. It was relaxing. They had maybe 10 or so projects lined up, you know, maintenance kinds of things that needed to be done. And so I was involved with those, either did it myself or was involved with them. Some things were as simple as popping pills. Those of you that live here know what we mean by popping pills. It doesn't have anything to do with taking drugs. But anyway, we help with that, or maybe as simple as pulling the generator out from storage. They had told them that it's really supposed to be started at least once a month, you know, just kind of make sure that things are all right. And Anna told me she didn't think it's been started since they're there, and I think that was a year ago in the fall. So anyway, I pulled it out, and I showed her how to start it and run it, and it seems like Anna, probably of all the ladies there, is a little bit more, has the bent toward things that often men do. There was another project that was maybe a bit more involved, and that was mounting a bracket on the side of the house so that they can get 220 wired in, and a few other kinds of things. It reminds me of, or I thought about this when I was jotting this down today, it reminded me of what I was told one time that Ezra Peachy said to a young man that had come up there to work up there, and he put him at this job, and he put him at that job, and he asked, well, when am I going to do mission work? He said, well, mission work is mostly work, and so I suppose it is somewhat that way. And it's true that the projects often took a little longer because didn't have the tools that maybe I was used to. But I enjoyed those things, and I trust that they were helpful. One of the things that we enjoyed doing is going and visiting people. And Marietta had lined up several of the church ladies to cook or to prepare native food for us, which we very much enjoyed. And one of the places we went was Avel and Minitas, which would be close to where the Masts had lived when they were down there. In fact, Willard's and Avez, Abel would be the English translation, were neighbors and friends, and Willard and Avez shared in the church work there. And they've obviously kept up their friendship, because I think one of them told me that they call each other about every 2 weeks. he can speak some limited English, but as long as there was somebody around that could interpret, he didn't really care to practice his English too much. The one thing that kind of caught Maria and I off by surprise was, well, we were sitting there, and I guess done eating our first round, and all at once he says, "Vidnome." Most of you understand that. Do you want some more? And so I don't know. I suppose he picked that up from from Willard, but maybe he even picked some of that up from David and Susanna. I guess you took care of him one time. We enjoyed being there. We enjoyed being at Celso and Kahneman's house. Celso is the deacon at the church at the ER. Avel is at Las Delicias, 10 minutes, 15 minutes away. Anyway, at that house, they prepared pupusas for us, and we always enjoy those. In fact, we ordered, I think it was 70 extra ones to bring back. We were there twice. We did enjoy our time visiting in various places. The other place that one of the other places we were was at Angel and Carmen's. Angel would be Angel. I think Marietta told me that they are just about the age that David L. and Mary are and have been married about that many years. And Angel is quite a storyteller. And Marietta got them to tell several stories. One of the stories that she told us was that during the war, it was strictly forbidden to have any guns in the house. And this was before, I think it was before he would have professed Christianity. But he had a gun in the house, and he was away. And one day the soldiers came to search the house. And she said, "Well, you can come in and search it, but I've got to get dressed first." It was early in the morning, and so she proceeded to get dressed. But she also proceeded to hide the pistol in the rice or something down underneath the food. And then when they left, she took it and dropped it in the hole in the outhouse, so that it wouldn't they wouldn't get in trouble for having a weapon. And then, well, and I see I'm running out of time, but Angel, he told us a long tale about how he and his men were working in the capital and how they wanted to go home, but the rebels had taken over the capital. And he, being a daring man and one who apparently was able to kind of talk his way through, was able to get home when they wouldn't even want to let people out. But it took about 3 days instead of half a day. Well, we were at five services while we were there. Two of them they had asked me to speak. One of those was at a new outreach is what you would call it, at Santa Ana. And Santa Ana is located roughly halfway between ER and Sacamil, where Eli Glick's, the Sacamil area, where Eli Glick's and several of their married sons live. So they'd asked me to speak there. The churches take turns having the service, the midweek service at this location, and it was the ER and the Las Elises' turn. And so we were there for that service. I was impressed how this young couple seems to be digging in and going ahead with the work there. And they've also moved the lamp and light office there that Aaron Mast had been involved with when they were down there. Well, that's a little bit about our time at the ER. The other time that I spoke was then on the Sunday morning at the Capitol, where Arthur and Santos, Misael's brother, are pastors. On the way then to the Capitol, this went a bit on a Thursday. We stopped at the children's home and met Matthew there. And at that time, his company was there, Stephen Wagler from here, visiting him. And so, and Misael, we met him there. That's probably about, I think, 20 minutes, half hour from Misael's house. Misael apparently goes out there daily during the school time because that's where their children go to school. They go to school with the children there at the orphanage. So Misael showed us around the children's home and showed us how they were processing coffee that had just been picked Then after their children got out of school, he took us and headed into their house. We spent the rest of the day with them, ate dinner with their family, visited with them. Misael kind of caught me up on some of the things the children's home is experiencing, facing. They haven't been able to allow any or take any new children in for quite some time, and they keep getting requests, but it seems like the board thinks it's good not to, to proceed further on this at this time. Maisel talked a fair amount about his vision for raising and processing coffee. It's something that, while they're going to run it as an independent project from the children's home, they think could generate significant funds for the operation of the children's home. Then our time with Arthur's, Friday through Sunday, or actually Monday, they took us to the ocean along with Matthew and Stephen, and the ladies at least got their feet wet, but Arthur and I actually got into the water, and then in the afternoon we had ample time to sit and visit, and while the young people stayed in the water, we talked at length about the things they're facing, the things we're facing, and in our lives and our ministries. And then Saturday, interesting experience. Arthur and Lil and Sherry and Joe and Jewel and I went to the open air market, and he estimated probably passed out close to 5,000 tracts in about 2 hours. And Arthur did some street preaching. In the afternoon, we went to a different market, and we men did shop a little bit, but part of the time we sat on the steps and talked about things that faced them, and it's interesting that they, you know, face similar kinds of questions that we do, like our constituency is somewhat facing at this time. You know, how are we as a constituency? We're not really conference, but we're congregational, and yet that has some interesting challenges, and they're facing some of those kinds of things too. Well, to finish up here, not just a few prayer requests then. I'm sure Marietta will appreciate our prayers as she's here and what she should be involved in her time of being rejuvenated in this Sabbath. I think we should be praying for Jana. She's attempting to pace herself in this time that Marietta's gone. It seems like she and Marietta were quite free at telling each other when and how they should be pacing themselves. But like Anna said, they don't always listen to each other. But as I looked at the clinic, I saw that it seems like it's true that Jana is definitely the doctor, but it looked to me like Marietta's probably what you'd call the manager of operations. And so they've divvied out her responsibilities. Hendra and Vera Brenneman, that have just started their term of service, will be doing the Bible lessons that she did to the ones waiting in line there. They'll be doing the lessons to the diabetics. Anna Zimmerman and Margaret Weaver will be picking up some of those responsibilities, as well as the local girls that work there. Particularly one of them will probably be picking up some more. They are cutting down the... that's another change I could have mentioned earlier. They did drop the number of patients from unlimited to 60 per day that they have clinic open, and the clinic is open 3 days instead of four per week. But they're going to try 45 at least this month and see if they can handle more. How does that make you feel, Marietta? You're needed pretty much. Anyway, Matthew, they appreciate his contribution there. There were some challenges in working with those boys to respect this fellow that seemed not much older than some of them, but I think he's doing well. I think they appreciate him there. Let's pray for Misael's. They face challenges as a young family, and I was blessed by what I saw in that regard. But the vision that he and those that are working with him on the coffee project, I think they've got something potential there. Let's pray for them in that regard. And for Arthur's, they've been facing some extra pressures and challenges. Seemed like they were caught by surprise with some things recently, but I think they're working well with them, and so let's continue to pray for them. Turn it over to you, Robert.
Well, thank you very much, Brother Warren. That I could have listened quite a while longer yet. We were asked last fall whether we would make the pastoral trip to see Rosine and Craig's and Frida. And I just want to say that we appreciate your willingness to to support us in that, for paying for Rebecca and my tickets. That is certainly appreciated. It was a pleasure to take John and Anya along as well. And as those things are, it's a very, very good experience. We certainly felt that we needed to be accountable to you as a group to make sure that we make our time count with the missionaries that we spend our time with, and it was a blessing to enter into their lives. We were probably gone longer than we would have had to have been to have just done the business that is done on a pastoral trip. We were gone nearly a month. We flew into Chiang Mai as our first stop. Arrived there on a Thursday morning. Stayed there over the weekend. Spent time with Craig's and Rosine. In that time, then we went out to the village. The middle 2 weeks of the nearly a month that we were gone, we spent with Craig's in Pongklong in the mountain village there. Then we came back to Chiang Mai and were there a few days, and then spent Thursday through Monday with Frieda. Am I right on that? Okay. I'm going to be sitting beside Rebecca here as I go through the slides, so she can prompt me with things that I might forget to say and add as needed here. In some ways, I'm not sure exactly how to say this, to communicate this well, but I had a great deal of satisfaction in knowing that I wasn't going just because I wanted to go, but because you as a congregation had decided quite some time ago that it would be good to visit our missionaries or at least annually or try to. I don't think we quite get it done annually, but it's just a blessing to know as a church you are showing that support, and that we can strengthen the connection and we can increase the awareness. And of course, we need that ourselves. I'd like to have you lead us in a chorus, Arlen, and we'll make sure that things are working here, and then we'll move on into pictures. We'll start off with our time with Rosine. Rosine is certainly doing a great work there. Of course, we'll spend time with Craig and Rachel, and we also spend time with Frieda. So that's the three mission efforts that we'll be covering this evening. Of course, we flew into Chiang Mai, as I indicated, loaded down with lots of luggage and arriving tired after many hours of travel, as you all know that it is when you spend many hours on a plane getting there. But it was a great pleasure to have Craig and Rachel meet us there at the airport. We rode out to Chiang Mai, to the IGO headquarters. We regretted, of course, that in some ways that the school wasn't in progress. We would have enjoyed seeing the school in progress. But the flip side was that we could stay there, and we could also have the use of the Chungtao to take us places. And so we spent a day, or part of a day, with Rosine. This is Gon that she is holding. We had the opportunity to spend time with her and Dorothy Beachy, who is the sister to our daughter-in-law, Dorcas. And she is holding, is it Tom?
Tom.
Yeah, Dorcas is holding, Dorothy, yes, is holding Tom. See, I need help with names here. We spent a nice time here relaxing over a meal at a restaurant called The Coffee Bus, and had a good time to get to know or spend time together there. This is their kitchen, which is large by the way that most Thai kitchens are. And of course, it was fun for Rosine to open the gifts and the presents that many of you had sent along. That was a lot of fun. And of course, here she was fitting a harness onto Gon here in an effort to figure out a way to keep him on a leash at times here. So, and of course, it was just fun playing with the children and spending time was just a real blessing. These children come from an orphanage where they spend most of the day in the crib, and they might be let out of the crib twice in a day, and otherwise they wouldn't have the opportunity to do anything outside their crib. And so in chair ministries here that in which Rosine is working, they're providing care for these children until they can be adopted to parents elsewhere. Of course, this is her most recent baby that she's taking care of, a Rock Chinook or something like that, and just a lovely baby. She also had offers to help with babysitting, of course. And sometimes things don't go as well. And so Rosine really has her fingers full with taking care of both Gon and with Rock Chinook. And so when I asked her, what shall I communicate with the folks at center, she said, well, we appreciate your prayers and appreciate the support and emails, those kinds of things do mean a lot. And I should also take this opportunity to say that the support that is raised for her is not only for her living expenses, but also for the expenses of caring for the babies that she's responsible for. And so this means everything from clothing to diapers to, well, just whatever, to paying rent on the house. And so the support for her could run anywhere from $600 to $900 a month, and at this point the support has been very generous. There is money ahead, and that feels good. But it just was made aware that we will continue to need to be providing for her. And then we spent some time there in Chiang Mai. Of course, the mode of transportation there is, along with cars, is a lot of bikes, and so they have these large parking lots at the shopping malls that just simply have room for bikes. And of course, as you find in foreign markets, you can find all kinds of food and other insects and animals and etc. So it varies in attractiveness in the market. And then, of course, there was a lot of darkness, and we went to the Buddhist temple, and here, of course, we had people who left their offerings in front of the monks, and then went on to spend time worshiping in a way that left you feeling very, very sad. It's very, very dark. This is a Songtao, and works great for transportation. On the first Monday after we were there, we headed out to toward Phong Klong. It's a lovely drive going out that way. Phong Klong is at about 4,000 feet elevation, and so we had some hills to go up. We stopped at Chengdao, which is about 2 hours north of Chiang Mai. And by the way, I do have a map at the back if you want to see how this is situated in northern Thailand. That would be that'd be fine. The interesting thing about this is that the best place for Craig's to get milk and bread is at a 7-Eleven. And so they had several in Chengdao, and that was rather interesting to us because it just looked like a 7-Eleven would here, and it was a good place for them to get what they need. We also stopped there to buy some more furniture to help accommodate the guests that were coming to their house. Bought it at the market right here. And then we stopped at Compassion Home. Compassion Home is like a, what do you call it, residential? It's not a residential school. They basically have housing there for children who come out from remote villages and need to have a place to stay in order to go to local schools to receive their education. Willie Miller, let's see, I have a... I guess this pen doesn't.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Yeah, Willie and Sylvia have provided a lot of the impetus to Compassion Home. Then we have Decha and his wife
Pat.
Decha was among those who saw the vision for starting a church in Phong Klong, and then we have. Then we have Darren Summers here, who is serving, who's helping with the fellows there. And of course, this is the kitchen that they use there at Compassion Home, which the native cook likes to use, even though a more modern kitchen was built on the inside of the home. And then this is the sign as we're approaching Phong Klong. This is the. Is Craig's house up here, looking from the road up to their house? Here's a closer shot in that same direction. It's a duplex in which they have a ma living in the back half, and they live in the front half. And this is the view from the front side of Craig's house, looking down across the valley. This is Amma. She is one of two Christians in the village, and has been a real encouragement to them. She is helping to make it possible for Craig's to be in the village, and certainly does help with the villagers' acceptance of this couple. And Craig's have opted to try to adapt to the culture and to the lifestyle there. So they use the fire outside heat for heating their water and for cooking. In fact, we bought one of those and we brought it along tonight, so it's at the back in case you want to see what it looks like. We enjoyed some of this good Lisu food, and so we thought, well, it'd be fun to have one of those, and Joe's were kind enough to bring it in a suitcase back for us here. And then, of course, they do have electricity there, but they only have a small refrigerator. And so if you look down toward the street, you see there's some activity down there. What it is, it's the grocery truck. And the grocery truck comes each morning around maybe 10 o'clock or so. There's actually two different trucks that come through, and on this truck you might be able to get fresh vegetables, fresh bread, pork, those kinds of things. And so it can help with the meal planning. And of course, the kitchen is rain or shine. So one day it rained while we were there, and John was out there helping make lunch. This is a part of the kitchen on the inside. And then at mealtime, she would bring this little table in, and often we had rice and then something to go with the rice, and we'd sit around and enjoy our meals in the living room there. Their bedroom is in the back over here. And then we kind of got into this routine that in the evening then we enjoyed tea together before retiring. We had lots of good times. The water, they will run through a filter and it seems to get along fairly well. They do get the water from a nearby location, which I'll show shortly. And then to wash dishes, you just simply wash dishes underneath the hydrant or the water faucet on the outside of the house there. And then when it's wash day, you get things together and you heat the water to wash with and hang it, wash it with a small hand washer, which I guess I don't have that shown here. And then it gets hung out to dry. And this particular day, there were five women who enjoyed sitting together and talking. But most of all, they were there, I think, just to see the foreigners do their wash that day. And then, of course, Craig is innovative. Here he fixed up this pipe, and so if he fills that full of water in the morning, by evening he can have enough hot water in that to take care of a shower for at least one person. So it's one way to make things work. Ama is just a real blessing, and it has been good to. She has been very patient with them to help them learn the language. Now there's a few things. There's always things that happen when you try to get started in a new culture. And one of these is that when the house was designed or built, this is the side of the house that is Ama's side, and it was an area there where the dirt was removed in order to make a level spot to put the house. Well, then by contrast, this is the side that Craig's are on. And so I'm still not quite sure why the house was divided exactly that way, but that's the way it was divided. And actually, it's been a bit disappointing for Ama. Here's a diagram of the layout of the house. And this is Ama's side, and this is Craig's side. And they're looking at now redoing the house a little bit to give Ama frontage here and use these rooms. No, pardon me. Ama would use these rooms here with frontage here, and Craig's would have frontage back along here and use these rooms. And so they kind of split the house the other way. One of the difficulties is that the villagers have this belief that with the ground being so high back behind her house, the spirits can come off the ground there and come in the back door. And so they say that villagers don't want to come to visit Ama because of how that's situated. So that's another part of the reason for wanting to give her some frontage on the front side of the house, and hopefully it'll be a more hospitable place for villagers to spend more time with. Of course, we couldn't do without the roosters, our alarm clocks, whether it was 3 or 4 or 5 or 2 o'clock in the morning, right outside the wall there, they would make their presence known. So you just had to learn to kind of live with it. And they have close neighbors, so it's probably just 10 feet behind the cook stove here are the next door neighbors. And of course, on the left here we have the cistern, and they keep that full of water so that if the water quits coming for a day or two, that they still have water for themselves, and a ma has it for her animals, and that type of thing. Here is the neighbor lady that lives up just behind their house. And then neighbors are free to stop in and visit. It's a very, very sociable culture, and so it's not unusual for them to spend time together, either inside the house or outside the house. We took a Candyland game along, and without being able to speak their language, Rebecca and Anya showed the girls how to play that. And so the next day, there were five children who came to play Candyland. So the children are just about, and they're free to come and go in or out of the house any time they like. That's just the way village life is there. And then also I should also have said that it's not unusual in the evening for Craig or Ama to build a fire outside the house, and they call it a social fire. They just sit around the fire and talk, and maybe they'll learn. Craig may learn some new words and that kind of thing. Here, the cycle is their primary mode of transport, has been their primary mode of transportation, and you've read about the border runs that they've done. Well, this is how it's done. We decided to take a walk one day and go back to see where Craig's had first lived. And this is the view overlooking the valley, and where they had lived was back in this area, quite some ways back there. So we walked back there to see where they had spent the first time that they were in Ponklong. And we went to the house that they had lived in. It's vacant now, but seeing the bedroom where they had lived in gave us a new appreciation for the first 3 months that they spent in Ponklong. And of course, another part of the dynamic here is that they didn't know any Lisu, and Ama didn't know any English, and they spent 3 months with her in this house. And it's amazing how much Lisu they have learned in the amount of time that they've been there. But it's part of it is due to the fact that they had this very intense home stay, and of course it also does make Rachel appreciate the new house that she has now. Oh yeah, and the newspaper was just simply put up to help make it more private, but. To me, when I saw this place, it just looked to me like a rodent and insect trap. But the Lord gives grace, and He helped them see through the time that was quite difficult. We had the first day that we were there, we found out that there was going to be a funeral, and I have quite a few pictures actually of what happened. In the process here of the burial of this person. He was a fairly wealthy man, as we can tell by it's a fairly nice house that this is in. But I'm showing these pictures partly just to help give a little bit of understanding of some of the culture that they are in. It's a very animistic culture, and as we went to the home that morning, people were starting to gather for the day's activity, and we're just kind of waiting around to see what would happen. Eventually, the coffin was carried out. They were lighting their incense sticks to place on the ground as they go, and they brought the coffin out and loaded on a pickup, and then went to the burial place. Of course, when we got to the burial place, they hadn't finished digging the grave yet, but that could be done after they got there. That wasn't a problem. I don't have any pictures of the pickup ride, but it was a very wild ride to go out there. But we went out to this mountain spot, and then the thing that kind of gets to you is that they had just so many things that had to be done as rituals in a place where there is no hope. And of course, one of these was waving this lit wand that was done by one of the village leaders. They set the coffin in, and then they arranged it so that it would be aligned perfectly, centered underneath this line that had been set up, and then they filled it with dirt. And also, we have here these two bamboo sticks that were put in each end that were designed to create a hole in each end. And then after the dirt was there, the bamboo poles were pulled out, and incense was placed in one end. And then once the smoke started coming out from the other end, then the holes were plugged. And I guess that, again, was something to help. Well, and then this spiritual leader, whoever he was, gave about 10 whacks on top of the dirt here on both sides for some reason, I don't know why. Then he walked around and threw paper around. Well, of course, and then they also had this pig that had been clubbed to death before they let it out of the bag. And then they roasted it enough to be able to skin it and prepare the food over the fire. Well, I saw that they were starting to do some mix up some concrete, and I couldn't quite figure out what was going on. But with time, they then began building a kind of a marker or a place for sacrifice at the end of this tomb. Of course, this was a day's event, and so it took quite a while for all these things to happen. Of course, there was plenty of beer around to drink. They also have what they call the betel nut, and we have men who will chew this betel nut. It's kind of like a tobacco chaw, and is just ruinous on teeth. And we even see young women addicted to this, and it's sad. Of course, we were out there long enough to get hungry, and so they passed out Ritz crackers and cookies and drink and made so that was all part of the day's activity. Then they had a way then of getting more dirt hauled to make a large pile over the grave. And and the dirt was being added as they continued to build the monument at the end. And then when it was finished, they offered sacrifice of the meat of the pig that had been offered, then was placed in there, and they did other special burning, and then of course put these incense sticks on the grave. And then they had some more chants and these kinds of things. You'll see here one of the leaders tying this string around the boy's neck and around the girl's neck. This was to help keep the spirit in, so they wouldn't lose their lives. And it was just sad to see hope placed where there is no place for hope. Yes, it was the close family members that for whom this was done. And then, of course, they spread out banana leaves, and then they ate this pagan rice and those kinds of things. Just a part of the crowd did. And then there was the ride back, and after we got back, a real meal. And by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we were real ready for a real meal. And so they really, really got into it, and it was good food. Another culture event was where we went to a neighboring village, and they had a New Year's Day celebration. And for this celebration, they do this thing where they go in a circle, and they have a kind of a chant, kind of a New Year's song kind of thing, and young and old together join in that event. It's a fairly significant event in the life of a Lee Sioux village, and I think we'll have. This kind of shows a little bit how they do that. So they keep rotating in a circle there, and like I say, it's the young and the old together, and they have the several in the center who will set the pace or lead the rhythms. I was tempted to ruefully call them worship leaders, but. Anyhow, so it was an event enjoyed by all. But we see, as like Joe referred last Sunday, we see these kind of spirit houses and things just very regularly. It's very, very sad. There's just so much darkness. Now, this is looking down at the family that lives just down from Craig's house. They had a baby recently, and you might notice the little red string that's here. Well, that's to help keep the evil spirits away, and we would see that on babies. If they were putting up a new building, they would have red cloth hung around the poles, perhaps, or rafters, and just numerous ways in which that would happen. Or then they also have these places beside the road where they would set out their offerings. And it might be toys, it might be clothing, and incense sticks. And then, of course, these things are just left out there, and it really does make kind of a trashy, trashy kind of situation. We were then in front of a restaurant, for example. It's not unusual to find a spirit offering of various food items that are there as an appeasement for the spirits in establishments. Sometimes it's up on a shelf, sometimes it's on a table. I should also, with this, I have said too that as we were going along the road, I asked John, did you take a picture of that? Spirit offering. He said, "Oh yeah, sure. I figured you'd want it." And so the pictures that are taken, I really didn't take hardly any of these pictures. But Rebecca and John and Anya took pictures, and they kind of figured out some of the kind of pictures that we might want to show. Although it's hard to remember to always do it. Kun Kong is a village just up from Craig's. It is just a quarter of a mile or so, not more than a half a mile up the hill or down a little bit. There's a country store there, and so they can buy eggs and sugar and some of the things that they would need in that store. There's also a place here where most of the villagers will get their drinking water, and so they'll carry the well they'll pick up the drinking water here that they will use. Here we went to also in Kung Kung, we went to a church service. This was a church service that started at 11 o'clock, and we had at Craig's in their house, they usually had their service at 10 o'clock, and then when their service is over, they may come to the church house here and join in the service here. This pastor has come from Burma. He's been there for about a year, but the church has been there for quite a while. It was a church that was started by the Morse family, and there's quite some history to the Morse family efforts in Thailand among the Lee Sioux people. They invited us to their house for tea after church, and we had a good time visiting with them and hearing their story. The pastor's study is unpretentious, and he knows six different languages, and seems like a very, very godly man. Craig spends time with him before the weekend, going over over his sermon material, and Craig will tell him what he would like to say, and then he will translate it into Lisu. Craig will record it, and then when Sunday morning comes, Craig will play the recording and play what this man has said, so that they can have a service in Lisu. And then one of the things that Craig does then is have English class. This is in the what we call the city hall, and so they would have right now. I think he has English class on 3 days a week, around 5 o'clock on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and it's been a way to justify their presence and make friends there as they attempt to teach English to the children who will come there. And then we helped out with some projects like with the wood and things like that. We built a bed while we were there and worked on a few projects such as that. Then we spent some time at this overlook. This is up at about 6,000 feet. Just had a good time of good picnic there. We'd taken Ama and the neighbor lady along, and they seemed to enjoy that time as well. This is now in back of Craig's house. On Sunday morning, I decided to see about making a call home. And went up to use my cell phone and discovered there were these people up there also using their cell phones. So that's just a several minute walk up the hill from Craig's house. This is because I had pointed Darren Summers out earlier. He comes nearly every weekend for the Sunday morning service. And if Craig's can't be there, then he often goes ahead with the Sunday morning service and is there. Of course, it's usually just Darren, Ama, and Craig's at this point, unless somebody else happens by. This is Lee and Joyce Mumaw. They live in Chiang Mai, and they would be more directly responsible for Craig's. They help oversee. Well, they just help provide what they need, and when Craig's come back into the city, why, Craig's can do their washing there, and they have a place to stay if they wish, and they're just a great couple there to help support. And of course, sometimes you go loaded, so just couldn't resist putting this one in. We just had a lot of good family times. Good times around food and fellowship. Here's at the Waterfall Restaurant, a great place, a fabulous meal for just a fraction of what it would cost here in the States. And then we also took a riverboat cruise, enjoyed that. it was a great time with that. And then, of course, you have to spend a little time, too, with the elephants and watch the tricks that they will do. So, and of course, at the Shengdao Cave, we enjoyed the handiwork of the Lord. By the way, here Rachel went shopping and bought a diaper bag with the money, I guess, that had been given from here. I believe Joseph and Leanne had given that, and they just so much appreciated it. It was a lot of fun to have them open the gifts from the grocery shower. Baby shower, excuse me. Well, I guess we did take a few groceries along. It was basically a baby shower, but there were many. There were also many gifts of money, and it was just a real blessing, a real encouragement to them. So just thank you to each of you who contributed in that way. And then we leave Chiang Mai now, and we transition to Xi'an, a city of several million people, lots of traffic, and people everywhere. Just stood in stark contrast to what we were seeing and enjoying in rural Phong Klong. It was so good to connect with Frida and to see her world. She's in the third floor of the apartment. Right here is her apartment here up on the third floor. Her roommate Hujia, and one of the first items of business was going down to the police office on the day that we came, just to register that we were in town. Just a reminder that we were in a communist country. And buses and vehicles and people everywhere. And if we needed directions to somewhere, it wasn't hard to find somebody who would be willing to help. If you go to the restaurant, you might have one waitress helping, or you might have several helping you with making sure you get the food that you need. Spend time with some of her friends. This is Cheryl, who has also been teaching English. I think has taught English there for about 4 years. And enjoyed a good meal, even tried her hand at learning to use chopsticks. So, of course, we'd been practicing some in Thailand, so that helped a little bit. And Frida is here drawing money out of the ATM, and I know that many of you have very faithfully supported her work there, and that is very much appreciated. This is how she gets her water delivered. And we visited several of the campuses where she has taught. Of course, the school wasn't in session because it was during vacation, but it was good to still see some of her stomping grounds and just to see some of the things that she would have on the walls, things that teachers do, such as phrases, please speak louder, or may I ask you a question, or please repeat that, just some of these common kinds of things that she teaches her students. And then on her desk, there was this big pile, or this long pile of words, and they were in rubber bands, and some of these packs one of those packs might have been to review every month, and one maybe every 3 weeks, and she had dates on them, and she has worked very hard to learn the Chinese language, and it was just a blessing to see how committed she has been to making a difference. We walked with her and walked down to this village, which is, I guess, part of the town, but it's kind of a village in its own right. Many of you may remember Bingley. Bingley is a special needs person, mentally handicapped, a woman who, for whom the church there is providing regular support. And so each Saturday morning, someone from church will go and spend time with Bingley, take her food. And they've now started providing her with, they found a Christian restaurant where they can leave money at the restaurant and Bingley can go there and get a warm meal once a day. Frida here was trying to convince her that was a good idea, even though she didn't like the idea of walking that far or going into a strange restaurant. But Frida kind of stuck to her guns and she was able to do a good job of helping meet her needs. And then sometimes Frida would buy things in the market I was going to say she would sometimes buy things in the market for her, but not necessarily all of these pig parts, but I thought that you might enjoy them just the same. And also good bread. Frida knows how to find her way around in town, and so we had some good times just riding the bus, just visiting her haunts, going with her in shopping for home improvements and various kinds of things. And when it was time to take the order, there were several who were there to help you. And so, in case you've ever wished for somebody at Home Depot, would just think back to this to this picture. Here's Joseph. Joseph came to her house, wanted to talk. Just a very friendly young man. He knows four languages, and he's studying now and plans to be teaching English and French in the near future. Anne is one of Frida's good friends. They spent some time together just during this past vacation traveling together. Then we have Derek and Lycan that have also been good friends. Then we have Weechin, I believe is his name, a young boy that many would consider not worth keeping alive, partly because he's missing his outer right ear, but they're providing foster care for him, and they would like to adopt him, and they're showing their friends that even people who don't have everything right about them are worth keeping around. And then this was a meal of church friends. The young people had a table where they were eating. Here is a young man who was visiting from El Salvador. He came to China just to learn Chinese. He doesn't know where the Lord wants him to be ministering, but he believes the Lord is leading him to learn Chinese. More church friends. Here is Cheryl again. And these two children, too, would also have been ones who would have been... This one has brittle bone disease. These would have been children who would have been abandoned by society, but church family are giving them a home. And then we enjoyed some good times at Frida's house. And of course, Xi'an, by contrast, has a lot of smog, and it's dirty, and it's big town. But when we were there, let's see, something isn't working quite right here. Well, okay. I was going to conclude with a poem. Let me just see, go back and see if I can find this. Oh, here it is. Well, I'll have to give you just another minute here. Well, perhaps I'll read it for you. When we were there, somebody asked, "Well, have you heard about the obedience poem?" And I thought that this explained well what the some of Frida's passion to and willingness to serve. And it's by George MacDonald. It goes like this: "I said, 'Let me walk in the fields.' He said, 'No, walk in the town.' I said, 'There are no flowers there.' He said, 'No flowers but a crown.' I said, 'But the skies are black. There is nothing but noise and din.' And he wept as he sent me back. 'There is more,' he said. 'There is sin.' I said, 'But the air is thick and fogs are veiling the sun.' He answered, 'Yet souls are sick and souls in the dark undone.' I said, 'I shall miss the light, and friends will miss me, they say.' He answered, 'Choose tonight if I am to miss you or they.' I pleaded for time to be given. He said, 'Is it hard to decide? It will not seem so hard in heaven to have followed the steps of your guide.' I cast one look at the fields, then set my face to the town. He said, 'My child, do you yield? Will you leave the flowers for the crown?' Then into his hand went mine, and into my heart came he, and I walk in a light divine the path I had feared to see." And I believe that this in a way... explain some of the conviction and the blessing that I see Frida as operating under. She has a real sense of wanting to follow the Lord, and it was just a real blessing for me to see that. Perhaps I'll let you turn on the lights now, if you would. Just for example, Frida is grappling with the question, well, There are quite a few English teachers at Xi'an where she is. Should she perhaps be going to Xianyang, the airport town that's about 30 or 45 minutes away, and maybe teach in the university there? And of course, that might mean finding a new church family. It might mean getting used to an entirely new campus, things like that. But she simply wants to follow the Lord. And so I just would invite you to pray that she would understand the Lord's will for her in that process. Oh, I have the wrong notes. Could you give me to the book? Did I put it down there? Okay. Well, we are we're about out of time here. So I'm trying to think what else I left in my notes. If you are interested in getting on Craig's email list, to do let us know, or if you want to receive their letters, likewise, and we can help see to that. What else am I forgetting, Rebecca? Okay. Oh, yeah, we have a few things back there, just that you might be of interest, that we picked up in China and also in Thailand, as well as the map, and so you might take a minute to look at that. Yes. Oh, okay. All right. Well, I guess we'll just have to let you ask the questions personally. I'm sorry we didn't get done a little quicker to give more time for questions. So, shall we rise for prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your provision for us. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful and that you want us to follow you. And I thank you for these missionaries that we've talked about this evening that have been following you. And even as we do this, we are aware that it takes a significant support structure to be supporting them in prayer, supporting them financially, supporting them with the in the kinds of ways that they need to be supported. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would continue to quicken us, help us to see and understand how you want each of us to be a part of carrying out your great commission. We want to do that, and we want to commit ourselves to faithfulness for you, that you would help us to show an interest in ministry, whether it be here or abroad, and that we would go forward in your fear and doing what pleases you. In the name of Jesus, amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.